started on this sermon. I won't keep you long. Verse 15, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. All right, why does the word could here? Why? Because of what type of word this is in Greek. In Greek, this is an interjection of an unattainable wish. Meaning, if it would do any good, I would. I could wish you were hot or cold. The translators were faithful to how that word is structured. I could wish. Like Romans 9:5, where Paul says, I could wish that I myself was accursed from Christ on account of my brothers. If it would do any good, he said, I would rather be cursed from God, anathema, if exchanged for that, if all the Jews would be believers. So that's why you see this, I could wish. So then, verse 16, Revelation 3:16, so then, because you are, I like this, because you are, then he says, I will. Because you are, I will. Because you are this, I will do this. Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What describes the church today? Lukewarm. Literally, I was looking up this word this morning. The word means tepid, used to induce vomiting. Also, the city was known for lukewarm water, too. That made you sick if you drank it. Lukewarm. Lukewarm spiritually is to be the same temperature as your surroundings, having one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. Now, the great preacher of old, G. Campbell Morgan, wrote, lukewarmness is the worst form of blasphemy. Lukewarmness is the worst form of blasphemy. See, he can handle it if you're hot. He can even handle it if you're cold. But to be lukewarm in what you do, it just makes him sick. You make me want to vomit. Tough words, but now I didn't just pick this out for you visitors. This is where we're at, right? I've got a witness, last Sunday's sermon. Faithful church, if you were here last week, I would have told you, you've got a blank check from Jesus Christ to the faithful church, a blank check signed by him to go out here and do whatever you will in Jesus' name. Psalm 1:1, whatsoever he does shall prosper. If you find yourself in the faithful church, that's what he's got. That's what you have. A blank check. A blank check proverbially. The Midas touch. Prayers answered. People you pray for, the Lord answers them all the time. Might not be in your time. So this week, this is where we're at. Lukewarmness is the worst form of blasphemy. Hear me, church. The Lord Jesus hates it when you're lukewarm and just go through the motions. I love my old Thompson Chain reference Bible. The Bible shows the theme in the margins of every portion of Scripture in the entire Bible. And guess what Dr. Thompson has in his margins to describe lukewarm? The main one he has is half-heartedness. And then this list as well. Half-hearted, indifferent, backsliding, formalists, self-righteous, spiritual pride, and self-deceived. A few questions would only be natural. Three questions. What is half-heartedness? Number two, what makes a person half-hearted? Number three, what's the remedy if you've got that? Right? I want to know if I've got this. If I got it, how did I get it? So I don't get it again, or I stay away from it. Number three, what's the remedy to it? If I've got this cancer on the inside of me, how do I get rid of it? Who here wants to go through life making Jesus Christ sick? Does anyone here, when you come up to him and saw him on the street, said, "How am I doing?" And he said to you, "You know, you make me want to vomit." Who wants to hear that from the Son of God? Raise thine hand. Matter of fact, put rubber boots on, go outside and do it. You don't want to hear this. Is there a person in this church that's not lukewarm? Wish I had my mirror. Is there a person in this church that's not lukewarm? First question, what is half-heartedness? Before that, let's read the verse again. Chapter 3, verse 15. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, or that is because you're the same temperature as your surroundings, or because you're just like everyone else out here in the world that you come in contact with, because they've infected you and you're just like them, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So let's ask the question, what is half-heartedness? Answer, just like the word suggests, using half of your heart. It's going through the motions with no passion or zeal at all. Like when I was a kid, we would say grace at supper time, and it went something like this. Whichever brother lost that day had to say grace. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food, amen. And that was it. Or I can remember my mother's grace from 50 years ago. Lord, bless this food to our use and us to thy service. I don't remember what I had for dinner last night. But man, I remember that lukewarm prayer. I remember that lukewarm prayer every night at dinner time. Why pray over your food if you're going to do it that way? Have a little zeal in what you do. Now, don't get me wrong. We all go through these things and pray like that or say grace like that. But when that describes you as a lifestyle, then you got to make some changes. Right? You're not condemned. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. He wants you to make it right. We're going to get to the solution. We'll get to there in just a couple minutes. Allow me to prod a little bit. Have you ever said your prayers half-hearted? Have you ever said grace half-hearted? Have you or are you indifferent to the things of God? Boy, I bet you the Holy Spirit's speaking right now. Oh, to be able to hear in the spiritual realm what I would give for that. You see, I've been taken through the grinder Monday through Saturday. Don't feel bad. You're only here for an hour. Imagine me preparing for this for a week. I've got camel knees this week. In repentance from dropping the ball and being lukewarm and missing the mark. Not in everything, but in some things. It's when you say this doesn't apply to me is when you're in trouble. That's what this church did. They thought that they were fine because of how much money they had, and Jesus said, no. Do you find yourself going through the motions? God is great. God is good. We thank him for our food. Amen. The real culprit is revealed here in verse 17. It says, because you say, I am rich and I've become wealthy and I am in need of nothing. And then he says, but you do not know. You see, like Eve and Judas, the end times church is deceived. They think that they're okay when they're not. They're deceived. They think they're okay because they have money or because they have church growth or a big building. Now, again, back, that's corporate. Remember, this letter was written to the pastor of this church. The pastor thought that they were okay because they had a big air-conditioned building, proverbially speaking, or they had a lot of people there, or a lot of kids in the youth program. So they assumed that they were okay. And Jesus said, in actuality, you make me want to vomit because you're just going through the motions at First Baptist of Laodicea. Back again to verse 17. Because you say that I am rich and have become wealthy and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, or naked, depending on what part of the country you're from. This church is the church of today, whose attitude is, we're running fine, thank you very much. So that's the first question. What is half-heartedness? Second question, what makes a person lukewarm or half-heartedness? I can sum it up in one word. Worldliness. Worldliness. Man, oh man, church, hear me. This world will infect you. It's diametrically opposed to the things of God and will infect you. What an abomination to God is worldliness. So much so, he considers you and those that are as an unfaithful spouse, like Hosea's wife, Gomer. Gomer. That God is calling his church out of this world. The lukewarm church goes through the motions. Perhaps sings the same old songs week in and week out. Sleepwalks through communion. Sleeps through the pastor's sermons. They think they're okay because they asked Jesus to come into their heart once back in 1942. And Jesus says, don't waste your time. He can even take it when you're cold. Okay, one more. What makes a person half-hearted? Riches. Riches has the potential to make people half-hearted and complacent. That's what happened to this church. So don't say it can't happen. Money has the tendency to sap your devotion to God and to turn you into a worldly Christian. What an oxymoron that is, right? Worldly Christian. Like Parkway. You're driving a Parkway. How's the other one go again? Driveway. You park in the driveway and you drive on the Parkway. Is worldly Christian. Oswald Chambers said this the other day. I really like this quote. Listen to this. He said, examine where you have become sluggish, where you began losing interest spiritually, and you will find that it goes back to a point where you did not do something that you knew that you should have. Okay, let me read that again. This is for the solution to how did I get here? What's happened to me? I used to be on fire for God. What's happened to me? Examine where you became sluggish. Examine where you begin to lose interest spiritually, and you will find that it goes back to a point where you did not do something that you knew you should have done. I know the Lord's speaking in here today. Sometimes that opportunity is gone, and you won't get it back. sometimes you can still make it right. Like you read about Jonah. Remember, with all his disobedience, God picked up right where he left off with Jonah. And the Bible said the word of God came to Jonah the second time. Sometimes your opportunities are gone. And you can't change that. But you make it right today, and God will bring more opportunity. You can repent of this spiritual condition and make it right. It's not too late. You want to bring Jesus joy to his heart? And that is, do what he says. Follow his advice in here. You won't be the kind of person that makes him want to vomit. You'll be the kind of person that'll bring him great joy. And that's what you want. You walk out of this church doors today making him proud. We haven't got to the solution yet. That's coming up in about 45 minutes. Onward. Verse 17. We see the self-deception. Starts with the word because. Because you say that I am rich and I've become wealthy and have need of nothing, but you do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. All right, stop right there. Remember what the city is known for. Banking center, eye salve, and clothing. Banking center, eye salve, and clothing. Remember that as we read Jesus' instructions. He said to them, you are poor. So much for your banking center. He said to them, you are blind. There goes your eye salve. And he said to them that they're naked. But they had the best clothes in all of Asia. You see, what you think is your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. What you think is your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. The one area you think you could never fall at. Oh, beware, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. He hit him right in the breadbasket. You think you got all this stuff, but you're poor, blind, and naked. Now here comes the solution, verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in a fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve. See how this must have really hit home with these guys? Everything that they made, he hit them with and turned it around on them. An eye salve so that you may see. The Lord Jesus offers the lukewarm church what they really need. Gold refined in the fire. That is true spiritual riches. And the true garments that the Lord offers those are those that have been washed in the blood. White garments, he said. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke, he says. Is that you? Are you feeling rebuked by the Lord today? You know what? If you are, and praise God, aren't you the blessed person in the house of God today? Though I can't say that I'm jealous. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Hebrews 12:8 says this. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and you're not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers that corrected us. We pay them respect. Shall we not much more be readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? They indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, so that we might be partakers. Here comes the reason why. All this is not in vain. So that we might be partakers of his holiness. So what's the remedy if you find you have fallen victim to this spiritual condition? The answer is simple. And he gives it himself. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Then he says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Zealous, Greek word zelao. It's just like it sounds. To be filled with zeal or to be hot. Matter of fact, I think it's on the hot, I think it's on the right side of Greek faucets. There's a Z there. You know how we've got H and C on a Greek faucet? It's got a Z. For hot. Be zealous and repent. Do what you do with a little gusto. How about it, church? Don't go through the motions anymore. Be zealous. Don't say, oh, well, here's your marriage license, Adam and Bruce. Oh, well, school board, instruct my child to say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Oh, well, allow my daughter to have an abortion without telling me about it. Or, oh, well, it's just the way of the world and Jesus doesn't want me to make a scene. Or, oh, well, two men can get married in my church. They say on the news that it's okay. Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. Stand up for something. Have a little spunk in what you do. Be counted. Pick a battle. Stand up for Jesus, like the song. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Don't be lukewarm about it. Stand up. You can't fight everything. I've got a battle that I'm going to stand up for. Pick your battles. You can't fight everyone. But there's a battle I'm going to fight. And I'm either going to win it or I'll be taking showers in the sink again like I used to in this building. But I'm going to fight it. I'm not going to take it anymore. There comes a time when you got to stand up and be counted. I encourage you to do that. You can't fight everyone, but pick your battle. Pick whatever it is you feel so strongly about that the Lord is leading you to, and stand up and be counted. Back in the Old Testament, there was a man named Jehu who said, come and see my zeal for the Lord. And lastly, repent. Metanoia means to change your mind. That's what repent means, change your mind. It means to use in the military, do an about face. Start going in the other direction. Leave your sin behind. God is big. He can handle your sins. And Jesus didn't die for nothing. His blood can obliterate your sins when you turn and repent of them. Leave them behind. He can handle it. That's why he said, I can even handle it if you're cold. And sometimes I've learned, too, people that are hot, sometimes they sin a lot. Get ready for this shocking statement. Sometimes people that are hot sin more than people that are cold. He can handle that when your heart is right. He can handle your mistakes. Now, David sinned a lot. He sinned hard. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Repent. Lastly, verse 20, the final words of Jesus Christ to his church at the end of the church age. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Maybe you've seen this on Christmas cards or in a Christian store. Funny, if you look at one that's done by a good painter, when Jesus is standing at the door, there's no knobs on the outside of the door. There's no way to open it from the outside. Notice that the next time you'll find one of these famous paintings of Jesus standing in front of this door right here. There's no way to get in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Notice he's not even in the church anymore. When you get to the end of the age, the last church age, he's not even in the church. Now he's on the outside and wants to come in. To him who overcomes, verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, Think about that. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That is the greatest promise of all time. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, church, my encouragement to you today is do what you do with gusto. And don't take sin lying down anymore. Run these turkeys out of town, out of the government, out of the public schools, out of the teachers' union, and out of the church. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
My friends, when they come back.